Real Romance Stream Mini, brought to you by the Undercover Capes Podcast Network. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Real Romance Stream Mini. I'm your host, Robert Andrig, also known as Bamfing Bob, and with me, as always, is my beautiful wife, Brittany.
Hello, don't sound so sad about me.
Brittany.
Damn, babe.
Well, I mean, you don't look the same.
I do look different.
You do look very different. You dyed your hair, what would you call it, aquamarine, emerald?
Emerald forest. That's what I'm calling it.
That's what you're calling it? Where's the forest? Or is that just the hair?
Like, see how it's, like, dark? Like, you go deeper in, it gets darker.
Oh.
It's like a forest.
Gotcha.
Actually, I'm pretty sure that's what this shade of Manic Panic would be called if we'd used that.
Yeah, but instead we used Arctic Fox, which ended up turning out really, really good. If you haven't checked out our Instagram page, nothing on TikTok right now. But
we're about to post a new TikTok. I think it's going to be...
But not with your hair. But check out our socials, Instagram and Twitter, and you can see Brittany's brand new hair. So, a funny story about the Stream Mini. We recorded it last week, and we were in the process of editing, or rather, Brittany was in the process of editing, and we stepped away to have dinner or something, just for like a couple hours, and we came back to it, and the file existed, but all of the contents inside, it was essentially like a jack-o'-lantern, right? The pumpkin was there, but all the guts had been scooped out.
We don't know where they went.
Mm-mm.
We don't know why it did that. It just kind of... Whew.
So this is a Stream Mini number 8 part 2.
Yeah, we tried recovering it with like 6 different softwares.
Yeah.
And none of them helped, so...
Yeah, even the ones that Al Mega sent, it's like he always has the best stuff. We just couldn't get it. So we're going to re-record it with all the stuff that we covered on the last month worth of streaming.
Plus a little.
Yeah, now... We've discussed it in the past, but this one was all about season 2 of superhero shows. And not just, like, normal superhero shows like Gotham or Flash or Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It's the ones that are really outlandish. The ones that don't fall in line with the mainstream superhero stuff. On this one, we're going to be talking about Legends of Tomorrow, which has been out for a long time on CW for about 5 seasons, but we only watched the first 2. We watched season 2 of Umbrella Academy, season 2 of The Boys, which is currently still... in progress of streaming on a weekly basis for Amazon Prime. And finally, the season 2, slightly cut short, of Doom Patrol.
Correct.
So, let's just jump straight into it.
So, Legends of Tomorrow is basically a show, a team of different superheroes from different universes in, like, is it called the Arrow Universe?
The Arrowverse, but they've kind of renamed it, like, the CW-verse, which I think is stupid. It should be the Arrowverse, I think.
I feel like it's the DC-verse.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's complicated because there's DC shows on different networks and some of them connect and some of them don't.
Right.
Rip Hunter is the captain initially and he comes to all these different characters and he's like, I need you to come aboard my spaceship.
All right, that stranger danger, first of all. But go ahead.
And we're going to change the future because there's a really bad guy. And so we're going to change the future and stop him and kill him and that's what we're doing. We're going to travel around in time. Ta-da.
Right, and that's the whole first season. They're trying to stop Vandal Savage from changing the past and therefore affecting the future. And Rip Hunter has these ragtag superheroes, which are known as Legends of Tomorrow. Because even though right now they seem like they're really kind of C-list characters, together, working through time, they're actually like hot shit. Essentially.
Right.
That's kind of what they're getting at.
So, initially we start off with, obviously, we've got Captain Hunter. Then we have Leonard Snart and Mick Rory.
Yeah.
Who are...
Captain Cold and Heat Wave.
Something like
respectively,
that.
Respectively, on Flash.
And they are kind of anti-heroes.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got...
White Canary. Sarah.
Sarah.
And she's from Arrow. And
she started off as Black Canary, but then she died.
Yeah,
and
she went through
back.
Lazarus Pit. We don't watch Arrow, but we picked enough on the show.
Then we've got Hawk Girl and Hawk Man.
And that was kind of a soft entry
into
Flash.
Into the Flash, right.
And then we also had from Arrow, or the Atom, which is
played
by Brandon Routh.
Ray Palmer.
Right.
And then you've got from the Flash, we also had... I just forgot
Firestorm?
Their name. Yeah, I'm thinking of Firestorm.
Yeah, well, you have Jefferson Jackson, Jefferson Jackson, I think his name
That's
is.
That's a weird name.
And then you have Martin Stein is his name. But yeah, those are all the main characters of the first season. And they go through time and they're trying to correct things. And by the end of the first season, they stop Vandal Savage. Hawk Man and Hawk Girl, they're like, well, we're going to try to
their storylines.
We're gonna go off and try things out.
Yeah, their storylines came to a natural end, so that was the it. Snart is actually, he sacrifices himself.
Which is like the hero move that no one really expected.
Yeah, so unfortunately he had to leave. I think the actor had different projects they were going to, but I'm not really sure.
Right, but in season two, he does pop up a few times as far as like guest starring roles. A disclaimer before we get too far into it, this is going to cover everything that happens through the season twos of these shows, which means that there will be spoilers, and it also comes with this inherent knowledge of the show, so we're not going to recap the whole first season of everything, so keep in mind if we're talking about Klaus on Umbrella Academy, we expect you to know who Klaus is, and if you don't, please go watch all of the shows that are covered in this, because we're not going to backtrack, and they're all definitely worth watching.
Or at least do a Google.
Yeah, exactly. Season two.
We still have Sarah, Martin and Jax, or Jefferson, whichever you prefer to call him. Mick, this season revolves around looking for Rip.
Right, because at the beginning of season two, we find that everyone has been lost in time, and the only one that's really known right now is Mick.
So, Ray is also in this season, and we add a couple new characters. Basically, at the beginning of season two, we find out that their ship crashed. Oliver Queen and Nate. I forget his last name.
Right.
Nate, a new character, go looking for it, and they find it, and they find Rory, who has been in, like, suspended animation,
Now, Nate gets wrapped into it because he's a historian, and he knows all about history stuff, and he's seeing that there's little, like, blips in the timeline, how things are changing. He says, this could be bad. So they end up finding Mick, and they go through and discover what happened, where they went to 1942, and they tried to stop something, and it went bad, and so it spread them throughout time.
So we find everybody but Rip pretty quickly, and they start looking for him and discover these time anomalies popping up, and they end up back in 1942, where they meet the JSA.
Right. Now, if you're not aware, the JSA is the Justice Society of America, which is an old DC thing, and it's kind of like the Justice League, but much more antiquated. We meet a lot of the characters that are in the JSA, but among them you have...
The most important is Vixen.
Right.
She ends up joining the team and thus filling out our obligatory second female character on the show.
Right, and she's black, so that's also bounty points with her amulet, which gives her special animal powers.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird power. I don't really understand how it works.
Yeah.
It's very convoluted, but you get the idea.
Also, it kind of ties back into Nate, because Nate's grandfather was the original Captain Steel in the JSA. That's kind of his tie to why they're there.
Yes, Nate ends up actually becoming Steel.
Right, a superhuman.
Right.
It's kind of like a modified super soldier thing.
At some point, they get captured by Nazis. Mm-hmm. Not Nate, but Ray and Vixen get captured by Nazis. Ray messes with one of the Nazis' like super formulas and makes it better, and he ends up having to give it to Nate to keep him from dying.
Right, he was going to give it to himself, right?
Right, but Nate's a hemophiliac. He gets an injury, so they have to give it to him to keep him from dying.
Essentially turns him into the X-Men equivalent of Colossus. He can turn his body to steel at will, and he kind of like steals up. It's a hit or miss power. He's still learning to use it, so sometimes when he needs it, he can't use it. Sometimes when he's not intending to do it, he kind of steals out.
By the end of the season, he gets pretty good at it.
Yeah, he gets pretty good.
So our main villain ends up being Damian Dark. Damian Dark is apparently a villain in Arrow.
Right, and he has ties to Sarah, who ends up in the first season, because they're off traveling in time, Damian Dark kills Sarah's sister.
Right.
Who was...
The Black Canary.
Correct.
Damian, very quickly, they're like, well, somebody's helping him. It doesn't make sense. How is he traveling through time?
Right.
So they actually find out that Thawne, Reverse Flash, was actually helping them, running from his fate at dissolving into space, kind of.
Because he has done so much time travel, there's a speed wraith that travels through the speed force, and he's trying to catch up with Ebard Thawne.
Because his ancestor actually killed himself.
And it becomes this whole chase against time itself.
If he sits still for too long, Thawne will dissolve.
He'll stop being. And so that's how they tie in the whole time travel thing. Because in the first season, there's something called Time Masters, and they have all sorts of people who travel through time, and that's a thing. But now that they're gone, our team is pretty much the only ones who travel through time.
They travel around the time stream, mostly in America, which is garbage. There's so many other fun times to go to, and we almost exclusively went to America.
Well, the only times that we're not in America is actually when it predates America. So if it's like Camelot or prehistoric times or things, that's not necessarily in America.
We don't know. We might be in prehistoric times in America.
That's true. Especially, but like Camelot and Old England and stuff. The Wild West is in America. The Revolutionary War, World War One, all these things all take place in America.
Thawne and Damien and whatever their third partner's name is, he's not that important. He's not that evil. Their plan is to get something called the Spear of Destiny. The Spear of Destiny is the spear that pierced the side of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Apparently, the Bible is
accurate. For real.
Yeah, in this timeline. We find out that Rip Hunter had the Spear of Destiny and had torn it into 4 different parts, given it to the JSA, and took them to different pieces of time and told them to hide it.
Right, and that's really important because the spear itself is mystical in nature, and so it pulls itself together if it's in close proximity.
Correct.
And so by separating them, not only through space but time, they have no chance to actually reconnect. One is based in the 60s, one is far in the future. Right, but they're spread throughout. And so there's several episodes where they're trying to find them throughout time.
And basically the Spear of Destiny can be used to change the timeline to whatever you want. It takes your intent and whatever you say.
It's like the Infinity Gauntlet, kind of.
Kind of. Only a little less radioactive. Not quite so burn your skin off when you use it.
Yeah. Which is good, I guess.
I suppose. makes it less intimidating to use. But that's what the season consists of. Them going to different places. They go some really fun places. Mm-hmm. Like we said, they go to Camelot. They go to the Old West and see Jonah Hex again.
They go to prehistoric times. And they even go to the film set of George Lucas, where Rip Hunter, actually in the mid-season, we find out that his whole memory's been wiped. And he thinks that he's a film director. And his big film debut is going to be the story of The Legends of Tomorrow, starring Rip Hunter. But because he has no knowledge of that, it's kind of like it's in his head, but it never really happened.
And we meet George Lucas, which mm-hmm. is weird.
And that whole storyline, it kind of starts to unravel because if George Lucas stops making films, then some of the members of the League don't really
become themselves.
Right, one of them doesn't become a historian, and the other one doesn't actually become a mad scientist type.
Okay, so let's talk about what you liked about the season.
Okay, well, I really like that no two episodes are the same, right? Even though we get to know the characters and they have character development over time, there's an overarching plot. If you don't like the episode where they're in the Civil War, wait. You'll be in the, you know, the swinging 60s before you know it.
I liked the zombie episode with George Washington. Yes. That was fun.
And it was kind of off the wall, too.
It was like zombies. Okay.
No, the amazing part about the show is that it is so, like, out of left field.
Yeah, I hear it even gets crazier in the third season, so that would be something definitely to look forward to.
Mm-hmm, if we continue watching it after we're kind of caught up with some other stuff.
Who's your favorite character?
Ugh, well, I'm getting fonder of Mick more and more. He's just kind of an a-hole, and I really like that he has good intentions, but nobody likes him.
I really like Mick quite a bit, too, but I also really like Nate. I think Nate mm-hmm. is a great addition to the team. I think he's a lot more interesting and dynamic than some of the other characters. I don't know. I really just dislike Ray Palmer. I know he's supposed to be like this all-American, like, good dude.
And I think that's why he's annoying, because it's like, ugh, another one, right?
He's just so...
He's a good two-shoes, you know?
I just want to, like, punch him in his face.
Now, a few notes worth making that we included in the last one, but we talked about far too long. One, they really shy away from racism in this.
That was one of the things I disliked strongly. As you can imagine, having 2 black people on the team, when you travel back in time to places like where they had slavery, that would be an issue. And they do kind of touch on it, mm-hmm. but I felt like they touched it with kid gloves. They were like, oh, there's slavery and that sucks and everybody hates it and we should free these people, but then they just kind of move on. But then they also, at the same time, try to push in Washington's time, which seems a bit much, a biracial couple, which I don't think would fly back then.
No, it would definitely be in poor taste to enter Monticello or somewhere and you just have a black wife. Just having sex with your slaves, okay.
But being married
to them, totally wrong.
That was the mindset back then. I understand that the characters and in the storyline, that's at a point where they were starting to get together, and I get that. But for them to try to quote-unquote fly under the radar, and then to try to push a biracial couple in the time where their slavery was still a thing seems like kind of a slap in the face.
It's kind of like they're writing a fine line on cable television where they don't want minority characters to feel like they're not being included, but they're also being unrealistic in how a time travel story would incorporate black people.
There were definitely different points in time where they could have pushed their characters more, and I just, especially that episode in particular, I had major issues with.
No, and then another thing was the main character, I would argue, Sarah, she is a lesbian, which really...
Or bi? I think she's bi.
I think she's bisexual. But she has several relationships throughout time with women, which is a good step in the right direction. But also the fact that even though she's the leader, early on they assume that she's not the leader because she's a woman.
Especially the JSA.
Yeah, and then more and more we find out that she's actually the best leader for the team. And not a whole lot of teams have female leaders.
Which is nice. It's nice to see a female leader.
Yeah, now, the Legends of Tomorrow is actually fabricated for TV, so it's not like you can go into a long archive of comic books where the Legends of Tomorrow were a thing. This is something that was made for the CW to take some of the characters that maybe didn't get the spotlight like they ought to have in their respective shows, and give them an outlet to create more content.
We'll see. I think something that's really funny is that Sarah's always like, we gotta stay focused on the mission, guys, we gotta finish the mission. But then when she's out in the field, she's like, hold on, I gotta have sex with the queen right now. Girl, you just told everybody else we gotta stay focused and stay under the radar and get this mission done, and you're like, I gotta take a booty break. Like,
oh no. And her name is Sarah Lance, and they go to the Camelot, and Guinevere apparently likes Lance a lot. they make that joke, and I was very happy with it. So overall, it's a really good show, and I think we will continue it in time.
Right.
At some point. Probably not right now.
We binged a lot of it very quickly because we had not seen season one. So we'll give it a break before we move on to season three.
Absolutely. There's just plenty of spoopy shows and things that have been backed up in our queue. The next one we're going to talk about is Umbrella Academy. Now, this takes a very different approach to time travel. You know, a very, very brief backstory. Umbrella Academy, they're superpowered people who are all born on the same day. The apocalypse is happening and the time traveler comes back from the future saying, hey, we have to stop it. And they only have like a week to do it.
If you don't remember the backstory, I think our May episode or June, something like that, talks about it.
Yeah. They try to stop the apocalypse. Long story short, they can't do it. Number 5, the time traveler, actually ends up pulling them away from the apocalypse and traveling them back through time to save his siblings. Okay, and that's where we start season 2.
Now, we find out that he tried to take them, I don't know where exactly, but the 60s. They all end up in different times between 1960 to 1963.
Right, and they all appear in the same place in Dallas, Texas. Like, Klaus and Ben, they arrive in, like, 59 or 60. And then a year later, you have Allison. Luther arrives next. And then there's the knife thrower.
Diego.
And then you have Vanya, and lastly you have number 5, who shows up like 3 days after
Kennedy's assassinated.
JFK was going to be assassinated.
When 5 shows up, another apocalypse is happening, and this time a nuclear apocalypse.
And they show off all their powers, like everyone's there fighting the apocalypse, and it's really cool.
And we know what the apocalypse is going to be, but we don't know what sets it off. So, which is different than the last time, where we didn't know anything. And we see Hazel, who, if you remember, he was a time-traveling guy trying to stop number 5 in the last season.
He was kind of like the Time Authority in Marvel.
I don't know who that is.
Oh, you will when Loki comes out, don't worry.
It's never coming out, don't worry.
Coronavirus strikes again, 2020.
So, Hazel's like, you gotta save your family, they're all gonna die, here's a suitcase, you gotta go back in time. Meanwhile, these 3 time assassins, were they called? The Swedes?
Yeah.
They show up and try to kill them. They kill Hazel, which is okay. His lady love is dead, so...
Right, but 5 is able to get away, and he only travels back in time like...
Like a couple weeks or something like that. He proceeds to find everyone. Now, let's quickly run down where everyone is.
Okay.
Klaus and Ben.
No, so you know, Ben is dead and Klaus can see him because he can commune with the dead.
Poor Ben. Ben gets screwed over.
He really does.
They are in charge, or rather Klaus, with a little help from Ben, is in charge of a cult.
Right, he like starts a cult with all of these like music quotes from the future.
On accident.
And they're like, oh my god, he's so prolific, and he has he has spirits on his side.
He's fairly decent for a cult leader. I mean, not that any cult leader is good, but...
He doesn't have sex with everyone that I know of.
He has sex with people that want to have sex with him.
And...
He doesn't force it on anyone.
Good news. He doesn't take all their money.
He does take some of it, though.
Not all. He takes enough to get by.
He has a mansion.
Okay, maybe he takes a little bit more than he needs.
But they all kind of live there sometimes.
Yeah, but so. He gets clean off drugs, so that's a thing, right? And then you have Allison, who is the only black character, and she actually shows up after suffering a throat injury from Vanya. And so for the first 6 months that she's there, she doesn't actually able to speak. So she joins a black community as a barbershop attendant.
She sweeps up hair.
Right. But she starts being involved with the civil rights movement of the 60s. And
she gets married to the leader of this particular civil rights group
and
in Dallas.
And by this point, she starts being able to speak, but she's not using her powers. Important to
Very
know.
Very good for her.
Yes.
Luther, on the other hand, is using his monkey giant strength. I say monkey because
he's been infused with like ape DNA.
Yeah, he's like part ape now.
He started strong and then he only got stronger, but also hairier.
And he is fighting. He is fighting for this guy and he fakes like he's gonna lose. And then at the end of it, he comes back and wins this guy all kinds of money.
Right.
Basically.
Mm-hmm.
Diego is in a mental institution.
Right, because he shows up in 62 or 63 and he's like, the president's gonna get shot. We have to save him. Because they're in Dallas in 63. Like, we know what happens in the grassy knoll. It's common knowledge to people in the 2010s.
I will say, I don't understand why he's so like, we have to save JFK. Like, there's no point in it where it explains why all of a sudden he's like obsessed with saving JFK, other than he kind of has a daddy complex.
Other shows have like addressed that. We just saw 11-6-22-63 on our other stream mini a month ago, and this one involves Diego trying to stop him and he goes to a mental institution. Throughout the story, like, he still wants to save JFK, like, the whole time. And while he's in a mental institution, he meets a young lady who helps him break out, and she seems a little special too, but we don't really know until later on in the season. Now remember, I did say this is going to be spoilery, so I apologize if we give away twist endings on this.
Vanya is with a couple and their son. Mm-hmm. She has lost her memory and they hit her with their car.
Yeah.
And so they took her in. They don't know who she is. She doesn't know who she is. She doesn't even know she's not from the 60s.
Right.
And she is basically helping raise this boy. Like, she's their nanny at this point.
Right. And the boy does have developmental issues. Now, they don't say specifically what he has, but it's also the 60s, so they might just think that he's acting out. They might not have a diagnosis for his autism or whatever he's struggling with.
Five shows up, and he meets this guy who has been, like, his apartment is overlooks the alley where everyone has appeared. And he's like, do you know where they are? Can you help us find them? And he helps Five find everybody and track them down. And he's like, y'all, we did it again. There's going to be another apocalypse. We got to get out of here and stop.
Now, Five is one of the most interesting characters because he is an old man, but he's trapped in like a 13-year-old's body. So even though he's like a young kid, he's the oldest and most knowledgeable of everyone. It's a very weird situation.
He's a dick.
He really is, but...
But I love Five.
But he also spent a lot of time in the future by himself, and so he's very jaded.
So the rest of the season is basically them trying to figure out what the apocalypse is going to be and trying to stop Diego from killing JFK.
And dealing with their own internal things. So, like, you know, old relationships popping up, old quarrels kicking in.
They end up thinking that their father in the past is the, like...
The shooter.
Yeah, he's in a conspiracy where they're gonna kill JFK, and Diego becomes obsessed with it. They break into the mansion, all this stuff happens.
Right.
They find out that the robot mom was actually based on a real person.
And we get to see Pogo while he's just a young chimp before he becomes their butler.
And we see all kinds of different things, like Vanya learning about her powers. She actually tries really hard once she learns about her powers again to do good with them. And they kind of grow as siblings, and basically they find out what the apocalypse is supposed to be, and they realize that they need to get out of this time. And so they try to leave. There's also another secondary storyline going on, where the handler, who we thought was dead...
Because she was shot in the head.
Turns out, she's not dead. And she gets back to headquarters, she gets demoted, but she hates that, so she comes up with this plot to take over and be in charge. She ends up sending all these fake time anomaly slip things to different people to try to trick them into killing Five and his family. And that's how the Swedes get on their trail, and they start hunting them, trying to kill all of them.
The Swedes confront Allison, who ends up telling one to kill the brother, and that kind of tears the Swedes apart.
Well, they'd actually, one of them had already been killed by someone else, but
And then the other one dies, so now there's just a lone killer there, and instead of, like, going after the assassin, he wants to get down to why all this is happening.
And if you remember, Diego's friend, Lila, she's actually the handler's adopted daughter.
Right, and she has a very special power, much like Rogue from the X-Men. She can steal powers, but only one at a time.
Did you know that there are other comics besides the X-Men?
Well, not ones that I know or care about.
You've referenced them so many times.
I've referenced them twice so far.
In this podcast.
Yeah, and the last one I referenced them a lot. Well, I could actually make a much bigger argument that Umbrella Academy is much like Xavier's School for Extraordinary. I digress.
This is what I live with every day of my life.
And you're so happy with it. I dyed your hair.
So...
But this is a really good season. I felt like I enjoyed it more than the first season. Because even though there wasn't as much superpower stuff, I felt like this was less, like, big spectacle on the superpowers and more about building the characters within the story. They changed up the setting, which means that it changes the dynamic of everybody. When they're kind of faced with the fact that they might have to leave the 1960s, it's not just like, okay, we're going home. Like, some of these people have been here for years. Especially Allison. Like, she's married. She has a potential family with her husband here in the 60s. So it adds that added layer of, oh, do I want to stay and live this life? Or do I want to go back to my old life where I know I belong?
I know this is terrible, but in the intro season, though I loved it, it was a little on the boring side because a lot of it was spent learning who these characters are and learning why they have powers, where they're at in their lives. Yeah. And though that is important, it was just like a lot. And this season was more action. We already know who they are. We already know what their powers are, what they can do. And I thought this was really cool to see them grow, seeing them change. And I liked it a lot better.
Now, season one also spent a lot of time like tippy-toeing around Vanya. Like, oh, she's the only one with no powers. Does she have powers? What's going on? This one, we go into it knowing that she has powers, but the fact that she can't use them, we kind of get that same feeling of how does this play into the storyline.
Would you like to give some fun facts about the comic?
Well, they're not necessarily fun facts.
Well, you should make them fun facts. Okay. Always bring fun facts.
I'll try to say it as fun as I can, okay?
I'm ready.
The Umbrella Academy.
Not fun.
Oh, fuck. It was it was published by Dark Horse, and there's only been 3 volumes, and it's written by Gerard Way, and the art's by Gabriel Ba. And even though it's a fairly limited series, there isn't like a long comic history like there is with something like Walking Dead, X-Men. There is enough story there to really kind of build upon the characters and create a show, which I appreciate. A lot of times when things are developed into some sort of other media, like a movie, it gets really dumbed down and they cut out a lot of the extras. But in TV, you get to explore some of the subtle things with the characters and even add to the original story, which I love.
You have to change things. Some things are just not practical for the screen. It's just the way it is. I, as a avid reader, sadly, know. But sometimes the changes they add are for the better. Some things are better than the book.
And then sometimes it's just like Percy Jackson.
We don't speak about that in this house. We only look forward to the new series that they're going to make and hope they learn from their mistakes.
Overall, I really enjoy it. It's a bit more toned down than the next two we're going to talk about, but it's definitely different and worth a watch on Netflix.
I will say they handled racism a lot better than Legends of Tomorrow.
Right, because it's an adult show that's not dumbed down for cable TV. Especially bringing in the civil rights movement. That was a big thing. They actually showed sit-ins. They showed how the police were beating them and just the terrible racism going on.
I feel like they did a really good job with the limited amount of time they had to spend on that section.
So the next one we're going to be talking about is actually going to be Doom Patrol.
We're going to start with the fun facts this time.
Doom Patrol is a very old comic book series, as old as anything that we've seen, really.
You mean the X-Men.
That's what it was. But you get mad at me!
Because I don't need 6 X-Men references that I have to pick and choose when I edit this.
Well, that's true. It was created in 1963, and they were advertised as the world's strangest heroes, which is very similar to what we're talking about. It was written for DC Comics, but it later changed over to Vertigo, which is a subsidiary of DC.
I thought that these characters were a lot different than the original team, from what I understood.
No, but the 3 originals that are actually in the show, other than Niles Calder, who's the chief, who's kind of the leader of the group, in a wheelchair.
In a dick.
Very similar to some other things.
If what? You say X-Men one more damn time, I'm gonna beat your ass.
But there's Robot Man, and there's Rita Farr, who's like Elastic/Blob Girl, and then you have Negative Man. And later on, you have other characters pop in, like Beast Boy, who doesn't appear in this, but rather appears in Titans. You have Crazy Jane, who pops up later, who's a very good character. And Cyborg, who this is the first time he's been a member of Doom Patrol, but he was very popular in teams like Justice League and Teen Titans.
Teen Titans Go!
T-E-E-N-T-I-T-A-N-S.
Teen Titans, let's go! I don't think we can afford that song.
Love that shit. Well, if we're singing it, it's okay.
Is
if
it?
It's really not that okay. But if we tried to put it in, it would be bad.
I think you get like 15 seconds or something.
Yeah.
Before they see you.
Well, DC doesn't listen to our shit. But yeah, so the first season of Doom Patrol, we're not really going to touch on that too much. We're going to focus on season two.
We just hit season one of Doom Patrol in like the June episode.
Right. And so if you need a refresh, guess what? Listen to our podcast more.
That's your own fault.
Come on, friends. Get with it.
If you forgot already, well, me too. So.
Yeah, starting in this season, it actually introduces Niall Calder's daughter, whose name is Dorothy. She's a perpetually young girl who's also an ape girl.
She's annoying.
She's kind of a Neanderthal type. She's stuck in this little girl's body, like 10, 11 years old or so. And she also has these imaginary friends who
are terrifying.
They kind of live in her head, but they manifest when she thinks about them. But usually, it's not out of the blue. It's something that happens in her subconscious.
I hate Dorothy. Okay. I mean, I liked the storyline, and I felt like it was good, like, plot-driven-wise, but I really just don't like her.
I like her.
She's annoying.
Yeah.
You know how I feel about children.
Starting the season, they are actually stuck super tiny from when they were battling Mr. Nobody.
They are so tiny that they live in a train set world thing.
Right.
Which I aspire to have one of those. It looks so cool, but not to live in it, just to own it.
Robot Man, he's over here fighting, like, rats and things. They're living their best little life.
That they can.
But they realize that they can only live that way so long.
They're trying to come up with formulas that'll make them bigger.
And nothing's working.
The only one that's big is Negative Man. Basically, Niles ends up having to give up this talisman that gives him, I don't know if it's a mortal life or just elongated life or what, but he gives it away to, I don't know his real name in this, Crowley. He's Crowley.
Yeah,
Supernatural.
Mark Shepard.
Yeah.
Has a character in this, and he also plays like kind of a magic adjacent character. Very much like Crowley from Supernatural.
He's almost exactly like Crowley, only not a demon. Then the rest of the season is Niles trying to find out how to elongate his life so that Dorothy doesn't have to live alone.
Yeah, because she's still growing up, even though she's been around for decades and decades.
At the major reveal at the end of last season was that Niles actually did everything that happened to these people. He created all of their accidents, and that's why they are the way they are. And so they all pretty much hate Niles.
Right, but the reason he did it is so that he could find out a way to keep living without the amulet. So, like, Robot Man, he has an artificial body. Negative Man has some plasma force inside of him. Mm-hmm. And each of these characters... But also, Jane, she doesn't age because she has all these different personalities living within her who I guess is keeping her young?
I guess. I don't really know how that works.
It's strange. In the end, he has to give up his amulet, and the season revolves around Dorothy growing up, whether she wants to or not, and trying to keep all the demons inside her at bay. Niles trying to stay alive.
Robot Man is trying to reconnect with his family and his daughter.
Mm-hmm. And so is Negative Man. He's trying to reconnect
with his
much older family.
Yeah. And Rita is trying to get over the fact that her mom slept with a producer to get her a part. And basically she feels like a fraud. She feels like her jobs were not gotten through good means. So mm-hmm. She feels like a fraud. So she's trying to act again.
Mm-hmm. Cyborg, he's trying to get a relationship.
Deal with his insecurities and deal with some father issues as well.
Mm-hmm. And Jane has a whole mess of shit going on inside her head where she has to deal with her past trauma, her other personalities, and new personality named Miranda, who has now come to the surface and is threatening to take over as primary.
Miranda is something else.
Yeah, she's quite interesting.
Then, and as we go through the season, there's some fun characters that pop up. Jack the Ripper was really interesting, though he was only in it for an episode, and I was kind of disappointed. I thought that would be a really cool character to explore more. And maybe we'll go back into the past and see some more of him, but I doubt it.
Now, if we're talking about the X-Men, you gotta talk about the Sex-Men, okay?
The Sex-Men were the best team I've ever seen in my life. Now, they are not people that come in and just have sex on everything. There is a scene where they are trying to regrow Danny, because Danny also shrank. Danny,
down to the size of a brick, apparently.
He's just a brick. Mm-hmm. I guess that's the miniature version of a street. And so they have this big party where they invite everyone, including like Flex Mentallo and all these different people that used to live at Danny. Mm-hmm.
And we didn't know this at first, but Dorothy actually lived on Danny the Street. And now that she's out and about, she still has kind of a relationship with them.
They throw a party. In the process, Rex Mentallo tries to help Rita get over some of her issues. And she says the only time she's ever been able to think clearly and get over some of her issues is when she was orgasming in the last season.
Right.
So she asked him to do that again, but just for her. And they accidentally create a portal to this, like, sex demon. And not only is there a sex demon bent on destroying the Earth, but there are all these sex ghosts that just pop up everywhere.
Right. And so they had to kill the sex baby from crying in order to stop the apocalypse.
And that's where we get the sex men. They come in and monitor any unusual amount of sexual energy and come in to stop it.
Right. Now, they were able to beat that sex demon, but the sex ghosts, they're still kind of around. So every so often in the show, you'll just random, like, pan out and see just these ghosts fucking in the background.
And I'm not saying that we need a whole show about the sex men, because I don't know if there'd be enough material, and I don't know what network would pick it up. But tell me it wouldn't be awesome if we had a side episode. You know how sometimes you have a side episode about a character you don't know that much about? Well, that would be an awesome episode in season 3 of Doom Patrol.
Hell, Doom Patrol had a soft pilot inside Titans, and now they're on season 3 coming up soon.
Sex men were so funny.
I liked it.
Way better than the Beard Hunter.
Beard Hunter was creepy, but we do see him later on as well in the show.
He makes me gag. I'm sorry. Every time he tries to eat a beard hair, I get nauseous. It's disgusting. He, like, picked it out of a drain.
Yeah, it's pretty gross. Let's see. But there's several other plot points that happen throughout the season, but it culminates in Dorothy
getting her period.
And she kind of learns, oh, I'm a grown-up, I'm a woman. And that was apparently the
trigger.
That was the point at which the Candleman, who's one of her personalities,
the worst one.
Yeah, the worst imaginary friend she has in her head, actually, like, comes out to play on his own. Makes wax come out of all your orifices and turns you into wax. Some things explode, people die, it's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just over here, like, crying, she doesn't know what to do. And that's the end of the season.
It was supposed to have another episode, but unfortunately, mid-filming episode 9, they had to pivot and kind of give it a ending that they could live with, knowing that they were probably going to get shut down due to COVID.
Right, and they did. And instead of being like, oh, well, episode 10's coming out later, they're just focusing on this terrible cliffhanger of an ending. They're going to start season 3 from this point. I'm really excited to see that come out whenever they get a chance to actually film things after COVID goes away. Knock on wood.
It's never going away.
It's going to go away eventually, okay?
Yeah, when the next pandemic comes around.
Man, the end of the world is upon us. Trump's got the COVID. Oh my God, there's so much shit happening.
I swear to God, if the world comes before I get the ends, before I get to see the end of Supernatural, I'm going to lose it.
But that would be totally on theme for Supernatural, right?
I hope the world ends the day after Supernatural ends. That way I never have to live in a world where there's no Supernatural. It just, the last episode comes, the next day the world can just end. We're good.
No, but see, that'd be like causation. It's like, because Supernatural ended, the world is dead. We're done.
I mean, I'm not unhappy
besides,
with that.
Besides, we're totally on track for zombies in October 2020. So it could happen. You never know.
I really just don't think zombies are what's going to happen. I think vampires is it. I know everyone keeps talking about zombies, but I'm really team vampire. I don't know. There could be werewolves. I don't really believe and think werewolves is the thing. I think maybe aliens.
Ooh, aliens. Well, it's already teased aliens this year.
I know. We saw the Pentagon release of those UFO. Why is nobody talking about that?
No, because 2020 has been such a clusterfuck wild ride where you could literally be like, Bigfoot exists? oh, Bigfoot has COVID, and then, like, the next week,
Bigfoot's
dead and no one cares anymore.
MK Ultra
exists.
It really does. That was, like, that's not a conspiracy. They were real.
I know it. So, the final one that we're going to talk about is The Boys Season 2. The Boys is actually the only show that is still ongoing. Now, luckily, we've seen through episode 7, and The Boys only has 8 episodes this second season, so there's only one episode left. If this is releasing on Friday the 9th, then The Boys episode 8 comes out today, and we haven't been able to see it yet. This show is based on another comic by actually some much smaller publishers. It was published by Wildstorm, which is a smaller indie publisher, and then it moved over to Dynamite, which is a little bigger, but not much. It was written by Garth Ennis, who's done a lot of adult war type stuff, and then Derek Robertson, who I got to know through the third Nightcrawler miniseries.
However, the showrunner is Eric Kripke.
And he
was the showrunner for Supernatural. Fun fact.
Very, very good director.
Fun fact.
It is a fun fact. And, in fact, so fun a fact that in some of the episodes of the after show, they bring on Supernatural stars to talk about it.
Such a fun fact that Jensen Ackles is going to be on season 3 of The Boys, getting to work with Eric Kripke again.
And it's going
to
be very exciting, and we're very pumped for season 3.
I'm kind of sad that Jared signed on to work as Texas Ranger, and mildly hope it doesn't work out so he can also go to be on The Boys.
No, The Boys is not going to be as long-lasting, I think.
But they could work together, and I love them.
Oh, I think they should work together on stuff in the future always. I really love them together.
I want them to be in Marvel. So even though I'm happy that they both have new shows, I really want them to be in, like, the next phase of Marvel.
Yeah, no, because Marvel also has shows, and it's not unheard of for people to do multiple projects at once.
As long as they're not, like, the star of both of them.
Exactly. You can't film both at the same time, and you have to prioritize one project over another. Again, we're not going to go over all the season 1 stuff.
Y'all can Google it or watch it. You should watch it. The Boys is, like, the best TV show on right now.
But I mean, not for kids.
Not for children.
Not for children at all.
You know how you take your kids to all the Marvel movies? Do not let your children watch this. Right. This is like Marvel movies and DC movies if they were rated R.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, worse than and Deadpool. Then some.
Right, so putting it kind of in a categorization. Legends of Tomorrow, fun for the whole family. Umbrella Academy, probably like your PG-13 type.
Your older teenagers and your, like, maybe your middle teenagers, depending on how mature they are.
Right, but there's a couple of themes that might be questionable, but overall, still enjoyable.
Doom Patrol, 16 and up. Hard. Hard 16 and up.
Yeah, that's R. And Boys is R+. Like, there is sex in this.
Oh, it's not even just the sex. It's a
lot of gore, a lot of language.
There's a point where this guy Homelander literally smashes this man's face in as he's, like, banging his, what's her name?
Stormfront. Right, and Stormfront at one point's like, laser my tits! And Homelander's just, like, blasting her chest with his eye beams.
I really don't think that's that provocative to me.
I think it's just really weird. It makes me feel
things. It's because you don't have tits.
You want your tits lasered?
No.
Well, there you go.
But you don't have laser eyes either, so maybe if you did, I would feel differently.
So, after season 1, we find out that Deep is off the team, and A-Train might die, and the Seven, who is this big superhero group run by Vought, they are now missing people, and so they need to fill their ranks. One of them is actually someone named Stormfront, who is a lady who loves Instagram. She's kind of against Vought. She's vocal against the company, but she wants to help people overall. At least it would seem that way in the beginning. She's very much a hero for the people. And the Boys, they're currently on the run because they've been framed for the death of one of the directors of Vought.
Stillwell, right?
Right. But that was actually a murder performed by Homelander, who is kind of your golden boy.
What? Homelander would never murder anyone.
Well, he's such a good guy. You would never suspect him. We also find out at the end of last season that the long-lost wife of Billy Butcher is actually alive and has a kid that she had with Homelander. And she's been in this superhero witness protection by Vought. And Homelander discovers that she's still alive. And so one of the storylines that happens in season 2 is that he wants to have a more active role in his child's life.
He's unhappy with the fact that she's lying to him and keeping the kid from the outside world and not
fucking neutering the kid. Like, he has superpowers.
She needs to be teaching him how to use them properly and not hiding them. I understand what she was trying to do, but I think she went too far, and I think as much as I hate it, Homelander was a little bit right.
Now, you don't push the kid off the fucking roof.
Which he also did.
He was in the wrong on that one.
I'm not saying Homelander's methods are great, but he was a little bit on the right track where she shouldn't have been lying to him so much. He was old enough at this point, by the time we see him, that she should have started telling him the truth by now.
Right, because he doesn't even know that superheroes are a thing. He doesn't know about all the movies they've been in, all the things that involve the Seven and superheroes. He's been pretty well shielded from.
It's not just that. He doesn't know about the outside world. He doesn't know that his neighbors aren't real.
He lives in a bubble.
Right.
It's the Truman Show.
She should have started teaching him about the outside world before that.
Billy Butcher tries to come and be with her, and she's like, no, I have to take care of my kid.
And he's like, they're never gonna let him go.
And that shit backfires on her hard.
Some of the other storylines are Huey and Starlight are trying to get, what is it, Compound V.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to get it to the media. And Starlight does end up succeeding getting it to the media, but it doesn't do enough.
It becomes this big frenzy where, you know, where did it come from? Why? It has this whole campaign about, oh, I was taken advantage of, but we'll make it better, blah, blah, blah.
And somebody's blowing up people's heads.
Yeah, we don't know who or how, but a lot of prominent politicians.
At the very end of episode 7.
Yeah, they have, like, microchips or something in their head. And if they say the wrong thing or they're in the wrong situation, their head just pops like a cherry bomb.
We don't really know if it's a microchip, though. We just know that somebody has the power to blow up heads.
But I just don't understand how they could have gotten...
It's a power.
Is it like a psychic power, too?
I think it is. I think it has to be, because the FBI agent we see earlier in, I think it's like episode 3.
It's like episode 2 or 3, yeah.
We see her head blow up, and then in this last episode, there were a lot of people whose heads blew up. Do you really think that they all had chips? Maybe it's something to do with Vought. I don't know.
No, but my question is, why would some people have heads that explode and some not? Like, if it's really kind of a psychic power to make people's heads blow up, why not just blow up Butcher's head? Why not blow up anybody who's getting in your way?
Maybe they have to see them.
Maybe.
That's what I'm thinking. I think it has to do... I don't know. But why blow up Butcher's head? Everyone hates him already. They're only blowing up people's heads that are strategically bad. We don't really know. Maybe we'll find out in episode 8.
Yeah, hopefully episode 8 really wraps up a lot of the things that we don't know yet. And I really think that the way this season is going, episode 8 is going to be fucking wild.
Who's your favorite character? Do you have a favorite character?
Huey's pathetic.
I kind of like him, though.
And I know this is stupid, but I really kind of like the Deep. He has grown on me.
You know, I really like the Deep, too. As much of a dick as he was last season, I really like him. And Chase Crawford is a fantastic actor.
Yeah. I talk to fish.
I will say, as much as I do like the Deep, his gills creep me the hell out.
Yeah, they don't really operate like actual gills.
I mean, they do operate like gills, but they don't look like real gills. Well, I mean, look at your fish in the fish tank. Those gills don't look like that.
Yeah, they're not like, feed me, Seymour. Like,
why does he gotta have gills? Why couldn't he have just like a blowhole or something on the back of his head?
Oh, speaking of blowholes, that whale.
That was my favorite scene, though.
No, I like Love Sausage.
No.
That was disgusting. Now, in the comics, Love Sausage, his power isn't to have a big, giant, prehensile schlong. He just happens to be like a superhuman-type character with a big dick. But in this one, they took it like...
To the extreme.
To a whole new level, and I loved it.
I would have loved to
I loved it so much.
To, like, see a recording of them talking about it when Eric Kripke is like, alright, so we're gonna have this character named Love Sausages, and his penis is gonna be huge, and it's gonna wrap around Mother's Milk.
No, because I did read the comics. Like, when I first watched the first season, I think I read the first 2 or 3 graphic novels of it, so it was, like, maybe 15
issues. I hear that the show's
issues.
Better than the novels.
It is. It is so much better. But they go to Russia and they find the guy named Love Sausage. And they're like, why is he named Love Sausage? And then it shows it and his schlong is going all the way down his leg. His power is essentially like that of the Winter Soldier or something. He's just super enhanced, strong, fast.
Boring.
A way better power would have him be like, my dick's a fire hose, right? And that's essentially what it is.
And I do really like Lamplighter.
I
Sean Ashmore brought like such depth and awesomeness to the character.
I wish he'd stuck around longer.
Do you know that Eric Kripke says that's his one regret is killing him off? Not because it didn't fit well with the storyline, But because when they wrote the storyline, they didn't know they were going to cast Sean Ashmore. And once they cast him and saw what a great job they did, that they were regretful that he couldn't do more.
I really hope they don't kill off Jensen Ackles in season 3.
Don't you dare!
It's very possible. It's very possible that they're going to debut him and then be like, by the way,
I thought it was kind of a nice symmetry to see Lamplighter kill himself the same way he killed some of his victims.
Yeah, no, he kind of had a tragic story, and you don't want to feel bad for a soup, but...
I do. Did you see the outfit they put him in?
Oh, man. That wasn't very good, was it?
That was so ugly.
I also feel really bad for Frenchie.
Frenchie's got a sad story. Frenchie,
they go into his backstory quite a bit, and that's sad.
Oh, but what about... Kimiko?
Kimiko. She has a fucking sad story, too.
I wanted to call her Kimchi, but I was like, that's not this show.
No, that's Kim's Convenience. That's a lot funnier. And many more Asians in that show.
Much less blood.
Much less blood. But the whole idea of season 2 kind of building on the 7 and the superhero side of things, I think it's only going up from here. They're doing a great job building the
universe. They definitely
are.
Like, I love the universe that they're building. I love the new characters they're adding.
No, what they're doing with Stormfront and Homelander is so fucking good.
People were mad that they changed Stormfront to a girl.
Yeah.
I think it gave it such a better storyline. Like, so much more flavor went into it making her a girl.
No, I mean, just looking at it from, like, a story perspective, Homelander just lost someone who he had a relationship with, who he, like, sexualized. And in comes this young woman who not only is, like, really sexually liberated, but also she's like, hi, I'm a literal Nazi. He says, oh my god, I love you so much. You're everything I ever wanted in a girlfriend.
How amazing is it that she's Jewish playing a Nazi?
Well, in the after show, it talks about that, and I think that was just like, it's beautiful.
Like, how do you go to your Jewish mother and be like, look, mom, I gotta cast in a new show, but I'm playing a Nazi.
No, you start with, I'm a superhero. Oh, that's so awesome. I'm a member of a big superhero team, and it's gonna be great.
Like, one of the most popular shows streaming right now.
He says, I'm so proud of you. Oh, but I also, like, I'm a fucking Nazi experiment, and I hate black people. Like, with a passion.
I want to kill anyone that's not white and look like me.
It's like the Aryan race, or get the hell out.
You know? Right. What do you think her mom said? She was just like...
No, she's like, oy vey.
Oh, honey, how much is the paycheck? Like, because that's what my mom would say.
It's like, and is there going to be a season 3? Well, yeah, there is going to be a season 3. No, if I'm not mistaken, they actually approved the season 3 before season 2 started coming out. So they knew this was going to be a hit.
Well, they already had season 1 under their belts, and a lot of times that does happen, especially early on. Shows are a little cheaper to produce in the first, you know, few seasons. So if they go ahead and get, you know, started filming, they can approve things and get it done before it starts getting expensive and before your stars are like, hey, I'm doing this show and look how big of a hit it is. I need more money. Like, it's not very PC, but that is what it is.
Yeah. After seeing all 4 shows, one of them is going out at a week-by-week basis. One of them we could have seen week-by-week, but we ended up binging. One of them came out on DC Universe. It's now going to come out on HBO Max, and that's Doom Patrol.
And one of them came out all at once.
All at once. Which one of those do you prefer? How do you enjoy watching this type of show?
Let me be honest. I'm a binger. When I start new shows, and I go in, and I'm like, oh, this is amazing, and there's only 2 seasons, and then I'm done with it in a week, and I'm like, now what do I do with my life?
Right, because it doesn't come out until next fall, or whatever.
And then I have to go back to it and be like, I've watched 50 shows since this came out last year.
You have to rewatch.
I don't know what happened.
See, my whole thing is, I enjoy watching week to week, because I'm very much a Twitter whore, and I love going online, and so if season 2 of The Boys dropped at once, people would be spoiling the shit out of it. I like that we can watch the first episode, talk about it, kind of soak it in, and then watch the second.
I mean, I too appreciate that.
That's what worked out for The Mandalorian. A lot of people really hated it, but by dropping 3 episodes at once and then doing a week at a time, it allowed people to build on, oh my god, Baby Yoda's a thing. Oh, did you hear what happened with such and such?
I need me some Baby Yoda.
Well, hey, the end of October, we'll hit it. For the stream mini, I highly doubt we're going to talk about Mandalorian Season 2 until the show is over. I think that's probably be smarter, right?
Quite honestly, we're definitely talking about taking a hiatus for, like, not long, but about 2 months.
Right, because There's still some things happening. Definitely going to do through November. For sure we have plans through November. But,
maybe early December.
But December, January, we'll probably take a break, do our Real Romance Awards, mm-hmm. Season 2.
And that'll probably be all we put out in January.
Right. And then starting in February, that'll be a great chance for us to catch up and jump in with new ideas, new shows, a new outlook with COVID in mind, and we can kind of restructure the way Real Romance works. Also, with Josh Einfeld involved with the Undercover Capes Podcast Network side of things, I think he'll be able to work with us and really get a product out to you that y'all fucking love. Like, that's the goal here.
And I mean, it does depend on whether I get a new job. Some of that, it's kind of personal stuff. It just kind of depends on how many episodes we're going to be able to put out.
Right, because for instance, right now we're putting out 3 to 4 episodes a month, which is ridiculous. We're, you know, head and shoulders above everyone else as far as that goes. We put out nonstop. But and that helps because we live together and we can film at our own pace.
Right, but that also has to do with the fact that I'm home every day during the week, which gives me a lot of free time to not only research shows, mm-hmm. put some effort into it, but also get all the editing done and get it to Josh in a timely manner.
Now, if you do happen to get a job or we move or our situation changes, that might drop down to maybe 2 episodes a month. I doubt we're going to go less than that.
I think what it's going to come down to for season 3, and this is, if you guys don't like this, please let us know. But what we're looking to do is do a movie 1, like we always do, do a theme mini, maybe a little longer, but keep it around 40 minutes or less,
mm-hmm.
and then do a stream mini, or stream mega. We are working out a name for it, because they're not really miniature.
Right, because this one's over an hour long, obviously. We don't keep it miniature like our Chadwick Boseman tribute was, or the Bill and Ted theme mini was.
So, that's what we're kind of looking at. That's what we've discovered we like doing.
And it's so much fun, actually, kind of focusing into a topic, diving into it, instead of just being like, here's a show, here's a movie, here's this. Like,
honestly, we want to watch more shows than we're watching now. Like, we have so many movies that we have to get through, it ends up being like, we just have to finish this. We have to get through this movie. And mm-hmm. we don't want to be like that. We want to enjoy everything we're watching. We're not getting paid to do this. We're not making money. So,
and COVID did make us kind of rethink how we do things and restructure how we want to move forward with the show. Even though it's called Real Romance, it is about movies.
It's also,
we don't go to the theaters often.
Well, it's not even that. It's just like, it should be about us. It should be about what we're happy doing.
Mm-hmm. And if there's a movie that you're like, why didn't you watch this movie?
Because we didn't want to.
Because it wasn't on our mind.
That's kind of what we're looking at for season 3. I know it's not quite there yet, but we're definitely moving that direction. As far as what we've got coming up next, we've got a theme mini, hopefully going to drop next week. Feminism in Horror, which mm-hmm. I'm really excited about. I know we're going to watch Jennifer's Body. I haven't picked the other one. I know we're going to watch at least one more movie and mm-hmm. talk about it. I got a lot of research to dig through. There's a lot out there. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, future things we got going on, we're going to be talking about all the female actors, the actresses that we love, that we want to see new movies with. We're going to be talking about a lot of C-list horror gore things.
Yeah, we're going to do that in November.
Yeah, that's going to be really fun we're looking at. We're going to be talking about a lot of spooky type shows for the stream mini in October. And overall, we're just going to be wrapping up the rest of the year with the movies. And
if you would like to send us your favorite BC horror movie, we do have some criteria for it. It has to be under, what, 50% on Rotten Tomatoes?
Yeah, it has to be bad. It has to be relatively old. Like, nothing within the last 10 years, probably.
Probably not. We're looking, like, 2000s past, right? Like, 2000s earlier. And older.
Now, there's one that I want to watch called Wolf Cop, and that just looks like kind of a spoof on the whole C-list horror movie thing.
We're definitely going to do that, and we're going to do Blood Diner, which we saw the trailer for, and it looks so funny.
There's so many bad horror movies. It's like, we could watch The Bed That Eats.
I think we might do that.
Like, you never know. But there's so many fun things that we could choose. So if there's something on your mind that you're like, oh, this is such a good, bad movie.
Think Mystery Science Theater.
Like, if you would like us to spoof on a movie like that, only it's specifically like old gore, not like...
just old sci-fi.
Old sci-fi. Like, we want scary movies.
Right. The gorier, the weirder, the better. I want to watch
the cheesier.
I want to watch something so full of puns that I just die. Like...
yeah, bad effects... poorly poor character execution, just something that really gets you.
I don't want to watch something that it's like, oh, this is a decent movie, but it's just like, it's kind of blah. I don't want to watch something blah. I want to watch something that's like,
that will
oh
make
God,
you laugh so hard right, because it's so
it's
bad.
It's so bad, yes. Yes. That's what we're going for. I think that's going to be a really fun podcast.
Yeah.
One of the best ones we've done
well,
so
shit,
far.
Well, shit, this is one of the best ones we've done so far. I think this one really turned out great.
Second time around, I guess.
Yeah, no. Now, we better not fucking have to film each podcast twice to make it sound good. Wouldn't that be the worst?
We ain't doing that.
We're not doing that shit. If it has to be bad for the sake of our time, so be it.
That's what we got for you today. If there's any topics or movies that you guys want us to cover in the future, please let us know. We'll take it into consideration. No promises.
Mm-hmm. And if you have a season three, hey, maybe you should try this for season three or something. Tell us. We want to make y'all happy. That's the goal.
Be honest. What do you like? What do you hate? And what do you wish we keep? Like, what do you want us to
keep?
What
can be improved upon?
What can we keep but make better? Hit us up on all forms of social media. Mm-hmm. We've got Real Romance on TikTok and Instagram, Real Romance UCPN on Twitter,
mm-hmm.
and then we've got realromancepod@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. Send us an email.
And if you want to hit up our individual stuff, she's BookNerd528 on Instagram, and I'm at BamfingBob on Twitter. Also, if you want to get a hold of us on a broader sense, Undercover Capes on Twitter and all social media platforms. And since you're listening to this on some platform, whether that's Podbean, Amazon, Pandora, I don't know where you listen, Spotify, just make sure you rate UCPN highly and let us know if there's anything.
Rate, review, subscribe.
Yeah, that's the one. Say all those things and do all that shit. Thank you so much for listening. Please tune in next time.
Hope you enjoyed it.
And above all else, keep it real.
Bye.
Bye, everybody. Thank you for listening to the Real Romance Stream Mini, brought to you by the Undercover Capes Podcast Network. Please remember to rate, review, and subscribe, and to share with your friends.